Hi there, working homeschool mom. This is Charlotte from Charlotte Jones 24/7 and My Little Homeschool. And this is episode number 117 of the Strike a Balance podcast for working homeschool moms. If you're new here, welcome. I hope you'll find lots of episodes that can help you on your working homeschool mom journey. A little bit about me. I'm a coach for working homeschool moms, and I help new working homeschool moms like you figure out the messy beginning so that you can take your first steps with confidence. On the episode today, I speak to Luba Vangelova, who is a veteran homeschooling parent and a working homeschool mom and the founder of The Hub, which is a unique online learning community that makes it practical for tweens and teens to have the best of both worlds, a customized education and consistent community. So we cover a lot of really great topics, homeschooling teens and tweens, what are the challenges and how you can overcome these, and also how to socialize kids. And we know that that is a big topic, and the value of kids working in groups, and also about homeschooling online. So there are a lot of really, really great topics that we cover, and I'm sure you're really going to enjoy it. It's a really, really interesting and useful episode. But before we get to the actual episode, I'd be ever so grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, or you could forward this episode to a working mom who's thinking about homeschooling your tweens and teens and feeling totally overwhelmed. I know that feeling, and I'm sure this episode will set her mind at ease so that she can take her first steps with confidence. Thank you so much and enjoy the episode. Hi there, and welcome to the Strike a Balance podcast for working homeschool moms. This is Charlotte Jones. I'm your host, and I am a podcaster, a speaker, a writer, and a homeschooling coach specifically for working homeschool moms. I've been homeschooling my neurodivergent twin boys since 2017, and I've been a working homeschool mom since 2017. So I know it can feel really overwhelming to keep all the balls in the air all the time. So each week I chat about tips and strategies for being a happy and thriving working homeschool mom. I cover things like time management, homeschooling, mindset, and lots of other juicy topics like that. I also speak to awesome and inspiring women who manage to juggle homeschooling and work successfully and find out what their secrets are. And I also welcome experts who can help you on your working homeschool mom journey. I have lots of ways to support you, so be sure to check them out in the show notes. You can download my time audit as your first step to managing your time better. I have a Facebook group for working homeschool moms that you can join as well. And be sure to sign up to my newsletter for weekly updates. And if you need additional support, you can join the WHM Collective, which is a supportive community of working homeschool moms, where we delve deeper into topics that are going to help you thrive as a working homeschool mom. Or if you need one-to-one support, be sure to book in a session with me. I'm so excited for you to be here, and I know you'll get so much value out of this episode. So let's get started. Working homeschool mom, I know how overwhelming it can be to choose a math curriculum for your homeschool. That's why I'd like to tell you about the online math curriculum we've been using for years, ctcmath.com. As far as math curriculums go, it has loads of great features that solve lots of the math issues we've had, and I know a lot of homeschooling families have. Here are just a few of the many features that we really like. Questions are adaptive, which means the interactive questions change in difficulty depending on the student's ability. The program uses a smart algorithm that tracks the student's progress and delivers questions based on their exact needs. The student doesn't even know this is happening, helping them to build confidence and master math concepts. Concepts are delivered through video tutorials and summaries, which are clear, complete, and easy to follow. It's like having your very own teacher. This ensures your children understand something before they're asked to practice it. And then for us parents, CTC Math has extensive reports, which are so valuable in monitoring your child's progress and spotting any gaps. And they offer a 12-month money-back guarantee if this curriculum is not for you and your family. CTC will provide a full refund, no questions asked. But I think the most important thing is a whole lot less stress when it's math time for both parents and kids. You get to outsource math with confidence, and your kids get a fantastic tailor-made program that makes learning and mastering math enjoyable and positive. Visit CTC Math today to start your free trial. CTC Math is also offering you, listener, an amazing special. When you go to ctcmath.com/MLH, you can get a half price discount plus a bonus 6 months for free. That's ctcmath.com math.com/mlh. Luba van Galliver is a veteran homeschooling parent and the founder of The Hub, a unique online learning community that makes it practical for tweens and teens to have the best of both worlds, a customized education and consistent community. She's also written many popular articles about the future of learning and co-founded and managed several pioneering in-person learning communities. In addition to her work in education, she runs a communications consultancy. She holds degrees in systems engineering and journalism and resides in Virginia, USA. Welcome to the podcast, Luba. It's wonderful to have you here today.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, Charlotte.
So as my audience is working homeschool moms, it's something I always have to ask. It's something that they're very interested in. So how do you juggle homeschooling and working and everything else that you had to do on any given day?
So we've been homeschooling since pretty much the beginning, other than 6 weeks of school. So it's varied over time since, of course, you know, children's needs vary as they get older, but especially the first, I would say, 6 years or so, we relied very heavily on a community of parents, which I basically beat the bushes to find, so to speak, to find those parents to start off with, parents who had similar, were open to doing similar things. I wouldn't say that they had the same, you know, ideas to begin with, but were open to homeschooling and lived in the area. And then we kind of built something up, co-ops, various co-ops, learning communities, building off of what other people had been doing before us. This was in Washington, D.C., and there were one or two other groups already that had kind of trailblazed that we could pick their brains from, but we did things in our own way. So parents took turns being duty parents. We hired facilitators for some of it, and we got a big enough group that it made it manageable. So we were only needing to do a duty day, each family, maybe every 2 weeks, once every 2 weeks. And we were meeting about 3 or 4 days a week. So parents would just help each other out. I mean, there was just a lot of helping each other out, carpooling, supervising activities, overseeing kids at the playground, you know, play dates, field trips, just a lot of community effort in that. And then as our daughter got older, I mean, she could do more and more independently. And then, of course, 2020 hit and the whole world kind of changed. But she had already been doing online classes throughout school, so it wasn't a new thing for us at all. But we then started doing, you know, more. It wasn't just what happened in 2020. It was also the age. She got really interested in Minecraft and so on, and interests became more specific. And so we found different things. And so then we were doing a mix of in-person and online things. And fortunately, my work is flexible. I can do it from anywhere. And some of it has to be done at specific times, but probably 95% of it, I can control what time it's done. So I can work from, you know, cafes, libraries, what have you, as needed. And yeah, so that's how we've made it work.
I think you brought up so many great points. So first of all, obviously the power of community, I think, in homeschooling is so important. I know I would never even have started or considered homeschooling. And mine was entirely online because we don't have such a developed homeschooling community here in South Africa. So all my community was online, and they were so helpful in helping me even get started. And I think also the flexibility as well, leaning into the flexibility of what homeschooling can offer, I think is so very important. It's a really good way to make it work as a working homeschool mom, I think.
Yes. I mean, the communities, basically, we built them. I mean, they didn't exist. Like, we had no community to slot into. We basically created it. you know, myself and some other parents that I met, just, you know, we took lessons from some others, but we then just kind of created our own thing that suited all of us.
Yes, exactly. And if you can't find one, build one. That's point as well.
Exactly.
Many homeschool moms, working homeschool moms, worry about homeschooling teens, homeschooling, you know, when you're getting to middle school, when you're getting to high school, things start feeling really serious, I think. And they feel like there's a lot of pressure during this particular time of homeschooling. So in your experience, what are some of the challenges that working homeschool moms face with teenagers specifically?
So it's the age at which interests have started diverging from other kids. It's much harder to get kids together. The whole social dynamics change. You can no longer just do a park meetup day as easily and just, you know, the kids will entertain themselves. Everything just becomes more complex and they become pickier about, you know, who they become friends with and so on. So just a whole host of social dynamics to navigate in addition to, you know, the academics, which, I mean, parents feel the pressure to varying degrees, I think, depending on their particular perspectives and educational philosophy that they're following. But it's, you know, certainly doable. I mean, there are a lot of great resources out there that explain how to homeschool during those years academically, how to keep a transcript, how to graduate kids, and so on, depending on what their goals are, et cetera. So the academics, as actually one South African mom that I was speaking to just the other month was saying, she said, the academics are the easy part. It's the rest of it. The soft skills and the social, you know, having their social needs met, that is a much harder nut to crack, as the saying goes, than the academics. There are now, the ecosystem for academics is now so vast. It's almost the opposite problem of what people had when I started out about 10 years ago, in that, you know, back then there weren't that many options. Now there are so many options that I keep hearing parents complaining about the opposite issue, decision fatigue. They are coming onto Facebook groups and just asking complete strangers, tell me what I should sign up my child who you don't even know for. Because it's just, you know, the wealth / complexity of so many options. But then the soft skills, because, I mean, as I keep hearing from so many parents, you know, the academics, I mean, especially if you're in a big city or at least in some countries like here in the U.S., there are several homeschool resource centers, usually in most big cities, that have a la carte menus of classes, kind of cafeteria style. You pick and choose and so on. But whether you're doing things that way or teaching at home or in a co-op where, you know, different parents are taking turns, or whether you're doing it online or some combination thereof, for the most part, classes are, you know, just very self-contained. You show up, you do your thing, and then you leave, you move on to the next thing or whatever. And there isn't much time or intention built into it to develop soft skills, to help kids, you know, navigate, you know, social interaction, like teamwork. I mean, some classes obviously are team-based, and so you do develop some of those skills. But for the most part, you know, things like communicating clearly, conflict resolution, kind of the give and take of teamwork. I mean, those are just really not part of the curriculum of most programs. And there is very rarely time built in to just decompress and socialize and actually make friends. I mean, people meet, you know, socialization is one thing, but making friends is a different thing. I mean, to make friends, it requires, you know, sustained interactions over time and being able to chat about things and, you know, not just talk about, you know, whatever the, you know, is on the whiteboard or digital whiteboard or whatever. And it's much harder to find the time. And then parents are very stretched, even if they have the will and the interest in trying to arrange meetups and social activities. I mean, there are two issues. One is just, I mean, it takes a lot of time, you know, coordinating schedules, trying to line up things and find things that, you know, those kids want to do together at a particular time when the parents are also available and can, you know, take them and, you know, so on. But also, you know, I keep seeing complaints online of parents trying to arrange kind of meetups, group meetups, and just the flake out rate is just so high that you know, a lot of them just give up because, you know, they go to a lot of effort and then people say they'll come and then maybe they do, maybe they don't. And it's just, so all of that is really the bigger challenge that most parents face versus the academic element as far as, you know, I can see. I mean, the academics, I mean, yeah, it may take a few tries to find a curriculum that works or, you know, a whatever program, but you know how to do that. And, you know, I mean, the steps are pretty clear on how to get there or clearer than how to address the other things.
This is, I think, why people are worried about homeschooling initially is because obviously school is just such an easy way to socialize. They are surrounded by children all the time, obviously. So I think that's why a lot of people are worried about socialization. That being said, there are so many possibilities for doing things online, online classes and things like that, you know, where if you cannot arrange an in-person meeting, you could maybe do an online thing. But I think people are maybe also hesitant because they don't think it's as effective if it's online. But what are your thoughts about online versus in-person socialization and kids meeting in that way?
Yeah. So first off, just I know that, you know, most people do view school as the easy solution, but I also read many, many complaints from parents whose kids are at school, and not just about the academics and all that, but about the social aspects, and not just kind of negative things, but they're not necessarily finding friends that way either, or having time to develop friendships in school. I mean, a lot of schools are also just, you know, back-to-back classes with very little time in between classes. Same thing as with homeschooling classes. In a lot of schools, kids either are rushed through lunch. In some instances, they're not even allowed to talk during lunch. They're basically discouraged from socializing, you know, throughout much of the school day. So yes, it's a place where you're around other children, but there are a lot of lonely children who attend school. I mean, the statistics for, I mean, anxiety, depression, suicide are alarming. And they, I have not seen them broken down by, you know, who's going to school and who's not. But my guess would be that a substantial proportion of those kids are surrounded by other kids at school every day and yet are still feeling socially isolated. So I think what it comes down to, and yes, absolutely, like if everything could be done in person and if the people that you have access to in person within kind of a logistically practical radius of where you live are the people you click with and you, you know, can meet up with them, your needs are, you're set. Nothing to worry about. But for a lot of people, that just doesn't exist. I mean, even if someone, you know, wants to meet up with kids on the other side of, you know, a city, I mean, it could just be so challenging to make that happen. And also, kids are just living online so much these days. I kind of think back on how, I mean, I personally, and I was not alone, spent a ton of time in my teenage years on the phone. I mean, it was not a smartphone, it was a dumb phone. you know, we were just talking, but that wasn't in person. But we got so much out of those interactions too, even though, you know, it didn't even involve video or anything. So I think kids are, for one thing, accustomed to doing a lot of things online. I think absolutely kids need also some in-person social experience. I don't think online is a replacement for everything by any means, but I think it can absolutely be an effective thing to fill a very large part of the needs that exist. And I think it all boils down to having an intentional culture that actually values community and building social connection and so on, whether that's online or in person. I mean, it comes down to the intentionality and how that manifests in practice. So I think, I mean, I was just recently reading a discussion board of adults talking about how they had become really good friends with people that they met online like decades ago, and they are still friends with them. I mean, they met them through online gaming, which it's not my thing, but obviously it's a thing for a lot of people, you know, and they had made friends. And I mean, some people question the value of friendships that are made online. These people attended each other's weddings, served as, you know, maid of honor, best man or whatever. They traveled to other countries to meet each other. They're still talking on a regular basis decades later. If that isn't friendship, I don't know what is. I mean, they're not going to each other's houses to borrow a cup of sugar, you know, like in the old black and white sitcom days or whatever, but you know, they're not dropping into each other's apartments like on, you know, TV shows from the 90s. But I mean, if these don't qualify as friendships, then, you know, how do you define friendship?
Absolutely, yes. And like you said, it just gives so many possibilities for busy working moms, for people who are isolated. I have people in my communities who live in far-flung places as well, away from big cities. So it really is an opportunity for them to have authentic friendships online. Yes, absolutely. And I know I have too. I mean, a lot of my community is online and in other parts of the world. My kids are neurodivergent, so I have to really lean into interest-led learning. It's kind of one of the ways that we've managed to overcome resistance, reluctance. Let's have a scenario. Let's say kids are meeting online and they have kind of a learning community. How is it possible for everybody or for interest-led learning to work in kind of a group dynamic or a group setting?
Yes, it's an art, not a science for sure. There's a lot of discussion and negotiation, but it's not so much about finding compromise, but about, I call it finding the balance between the me and the we. You know, maybe one child's interests will predominate, you know, now, but other children know that their turn will come. They will respectfully listen to other kids talking about their interests as long as they know that they're also being heard and listened to and respected, and they'll also get, you know, their turn to share their interests with the group. And then also the facilitators in the programs that we run, they try to find the commonalities between the different interests. And sometimes those are obvious and sometimes they're really not. And it's actually one way that one of the facilitators started experimenting with using artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, to see, you know, what are some, what she put in is, you know, what are some commonalities between, I think it was basketball and music. And it, you know, gave like a several paragraphs long list of, you know, how the different music genres were influenced by sports and pick up basketball culture and this and that or whatever. It was really quite interesting. The things that never would have occurred to me, you know, like if I had just been brainstorming on my own about it. Anyway, so yeah, finding commonalities, kind of taking turns. And then also like when we do group projects, kids can come at them from very different angles. You know, one child, like for instance, for a video newscast, one child might compose some original music for it. Another child might do the art and graphics. Another child, you know, might want to be kind of on camera and presenting. Another child, you know, that might be their worst nightmare. They want to be behind the scenes and editing. And, you know, some kids really like to write. Others, you know, maybe not so much. And so they find ways to kind of build on their strengths and individual interests, but in a way that kind of creates a whole that's larger than the sum of the parts, because they can kind of build off each other and also get better at the things that maybe they weren't as skilled at or as comfortable with by seeing other kids do those things and kind of learning from each other. So it's a bit of a dance, but, you know, for the most, and we also use breakout rooms. So, you know, sometimes, you know, kids just want to do different things. And so we make good use of breakout rooms. And sometimes when we have online groups that meet concurrently, we also harness the interests and skills of the facilitator. So sometimes a facilitator from one cohort will go to a breakout room with kids either from the other cohort or a mixed group of, you know, kids from different cohorts or whatever. So it's kind of a puzzle, a bit of a dance.
But I think they would definitely be learning a lot of those soft skills that you were speaking about before, of negotiation, compromise, and all mm-hmm. those kind of things. And what kind of other skills do you think that they could learn from these types of online communities where there is an interest-led element?
So, I mean, one thing that parents have pointed out, several parents, is noticing that their children became more I mean, the term they used was, I think, instances like assertive, but like not in a negative way, just being willing to speak up more about their needs and articulate them clearly, but in a way that is non-conflictual, that, you know, is adult to adult kind of negotiation back and forth. So yeah, conversation, respectful conversation, occasional conflict resolution. I mean, conflict doesn't really come up that often, but occasionally, very occasionally, there is something that, you know, trips someone up, and then, you know, they get to see modeled kind of respectful resolution of that. And just articulating your ideas clearly, because if a child is talking about something that they know a lot about, and is sharing that knowledge with the other kids, often the other kids will pose questions that'll, you know, make the first child think, oh, you know, have to think through more deeply what they thought they knew, and also how to communicate it in a way that someone who is new to a topic understands. So all in creativity, I mean, they work on a lot of creative things together, problem solving, they do puzzles and kind of escape rooms and all sorts of things like that. So really the whole gamut of soft skills come into play.
Sounds amazing. So I'm sure there's definitely a working homeschool mom who is nodding her head saying, yes, she wants all these things. She has a tween or she has a teen. She wants to outsource her homeschooling, first of all. She wants them to kind of interact socially and to learn all these soft skills. So maybe you can tell the working homeschool mom who's listening to this what the Hub community is about, because it sounds like something that is amazing. I had a quick look at what you offer, but maybe you could tell us a little bit more in depth about what they can expect if they join the community.
Sure. So we have two programs. The main one is our micro academy, which meets 2 half-days a week. And the kids meet in small groups and maximum 8 kids with 2 facilitators. So it's a very, very interactive, very curated experience. It's interdisciplinary and interest-led. So as I mentioned, the kids and the facilitators actually decide jointly what activities and projects they will do and what roles they will each assume and so on. So it's a very dynamic, very vibrant experience. And it's because it's part-time, it can be paired with any more specialized studies and activities that each child, you know, or and their family want to do in the rest of the time. So it basically unbundles the cohort experience for them and recreates it in this very unique way.
Did you say there were 2 programs?
Oh, yes. The Nano Academy is a streamlined version of the Micro Academy. It meets 1 half-day a week, and it's much more flexible in terms of enrollment options. The Micro Academy is the one that offers a really consistent cohort experience, and it ages up with the participants. Each cohort does. So for instance, in our oldest cohort, the majority of the kids have actually been there for years at this point. But the Nano Academy is just a much more casual group experience for those who just want something more, you know, casual, less curated. And so the other thing that, because it meets for, each of them meet for a half day at a time, it also addresses some of the, I don't know if you use the term confetti time, that parents kind of, their time feel so broken up into little confetti pieces when they're trying to do so many things and homeschool. But this creates a big block of time. I mean, the kids, of course, get breaks in there, but like a nice big block of time, mostly uninterrupted, when parents can focus on other responsibilities while, you know, feeling like, you know, their kids are doing something constructive and social and from the convenience of home. So so that's the other thing they can expect.
I love that expression. I haven't heard that, but that is, yes, I feel confetti time, absolutely. I think all working homeschool moms do. That's amazing. All right, so where's the best place for everybody to connect with you online? Where can they find the community or any social media, anything like that?
Sure. So we're on Facebook, and I just activated an Instagram account, kind of just starting that up. So we don't have a big presence there yet, but we are there. And the Hub has a YouTube channel where I post interviews with subject matter experts and also short talks with our facilitators where they share some behind the scenes thoughts. And then our website is just thehub.community. And we do run occasional open houses that we're very child focused. So our open houses are actually for the children to give them a taste of the experience, kind of a sample mini session. So we run those occasionally also, and those are posted on the events page of the website.
Fantastic. And obviously, I will link all of those in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time, Luba. It was really, really interesting to hear your take on homeschooling teenagers, on online homeschooling, interest-led learning, all those kind of topics that a lot of new working homeschool moms might be hearing about, or even more experienced ones might be thinking about hearing about. So thank you so much for sharing your experiences and your knowledge.
Thank you.
I really hope you enjoyed the episode. Please let me know what your greatest takeaway was. You can reach out to me on Instagram at charlottejones247 or on my website at mylittlehomeschool.com, or you could even drop me an email at hello@mylittlehomeschool.com. I'd be ever so grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It will help spread the news about being a working homeschool mom, and in that way we can build this wonderful supportive community together. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, take care.